Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. This is the audio diary of my life, behind the scenes of a YouTube creator and a would-be writer, I suppose. Well, I am writing, so... It's a bit chilly this morning. I have already made my coffee, so I don't have to subject you to all of that. It's the 2nd of February 2025. Second month in. Let me take a slurp, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to release a pipe smoking video this morning, which will be on the Vobe Show channel. Somebody sent me some tins, tobacco tins, old tobacco tins. A couple who run, I think they're in a place called Whitchurch. I think that's where it is. They in the old chapel there, they have a... I was just trying to think of the correct name for it. Excuse me. I forgot to say it's 6:30 in the morning. Something like that, anyway. They have a sort of like second-hand bric-a-brac shop, only to say it's a bric-a-brac shop probably does it an injustice. It's not a junk shop or anything like that, but they're charming things of English heritage that is not in the mainstream. Sort of second-hand... charming objects, I suppose, you know. Anyway, they emailed me and said they liked the videos that we used to do, as people do, and they're very much on the same page with things that are going on at the moment. And they just told me about their shop. And I said to them, oh, that sounds splendid. We'll have to come up there. It would be lovely to see it. Anyway... I think it's in Hampshire somewhere. So, yes, it would be lovely to go up there. Meanwhile, I said to them, oh, you don't have any old tobacco tins, ones that do not have all that horrible advertising on the government, the warning messages. And they said they had three. And I said, oh. And they said, don't worry, we'll send them to you free of charge. And I said, oh, that's bloody kind of you. You didn't have to do that. Anyway, they did. And I will show them on the video, but they came too late for yesterday because I filmed yesterday's... they came too late for today's pipe-smoking video because they came yesterday, just after I filmed. So I thought I'd just look at them. So the first one, there's three. The first one is Will's Cut Golden Bar Tobacco. Now, I don't know anything about that. Will's... So I must look that up. Ready Rubbed. The second one is Players Medium Navy Cut. And it comes in a small jar. Players, John Player and Sons. 1 ounce tin. Very lovely. Can't open that one. Seems quite seized. There's nothing in them. And the final one is a quarter of a pound box. It says, oi, cat, please stop doing that. It's, you know, pulling the furniture. Oi, oi, stop it. I'm going to throw this cushion at him. Stop it. Bloody thing. Yeah, so this one is a quarter of a pound box, St. Bruno flake. And it does say on here, if I can just read this, the brand of tobacco is the exclusive property of Imperial Tobacco Company of Great Britain and Ireland. Something and his sons is not to be refilled with other tobacco. Is it what the tin is? It just trying to. So in other words, you know you couldn't. Oh, it's got a hole in it. Is that right? It has a hole in it on either side. I wonder if these were at one time on display somewhere. Anyway, So there it is, St. Bruno Freight, registered trademark. They look nice anyway, and of course they would be nice on display. So that was a nice little gift. I've got two others which I must put in there: Erin Moore and Sunday Fantasy, which they still sell. I think they still sell. I don't know about Will's, the first one I mentioned. I will look that one up. Yeah, I've got two more. So that's five little tins. And make a nice little display somewhere. My house is so cluttered with stuff. I've got to whittle it down now. I have got to whittle it down. The books are fine. Although there's plenty of books, actually, that I no longer require. I don't know what you do with those. I hate to throw them in the bin, because books symbolise knowledge, and you should never do that. Should never put it on the fire. But then, you know, where do they go? If you give them to a charity shop, they may end up in the bin, because charity shops have got so many books, but so many fiction and those sort of books. It's a funny old thing, isn't it? Books, they're funny things. But precious at the same time. Yeah. So somebody sent me those tins, which was very nice, very kind. But originally what my initial thought was, when I buy my pipe tobacco, it would be lovely to put them into tins that do not have all this stupid warning from the government. And what I've been doing, of course, is to put these tins in boiling water and peel off the labels. These tins, the old tins, were printed on, I don't know how you do it, but printed. I mean, I used to do litho printing, but I don't know that it's that process. But they were printed on the actual tin. Now, the recent ones, of course, are all stickers. But they're stickers with a horrible glue, which is very difficult to get off. So that's why I thought it'd be nice to have a series of tins that you could put your tobacco in. But then at the same time, you could do it with jars. You know, you could do it with jars, just take it out and put it in jars and then have those. The tins are nice just because they've got those old-fashioned enamel. I suppose it's some sort of enamel. Is it like the enamel ones that people collect from railway lines and things, the old-fashioned railway lines, the old way of doing it, I'm guessing. Can't be hand-drawn. They must have been manufactured in huge numbers, but I don't know how you do it anyway. It must be some sort of stamping process. Not stamping, but anyway, stenciling somehow, printing, stenciling. I'm just trying to think. I did litho printing. Cat, will you stop it? Off. God, you tap it and it still carries on. And in the end, you just have to lift the bloody thing off. The furniture I've got is old enough and raggedy. I don't need it being ripped apart by the cat. Thank you very much. Dear, oh dear. Anyway, he's got scratching pads. He's got a scratching tree and a scratching pad. He's got two that he can do all his, you know, because it's got something to do with the nails, I understand. Julia has told me, explained it to me. I'm not quite really sure what goes on, but they have to do it. I get that, but just not on the furniture, although the furniture, I suppose, being heavy, doesn't resist them so much. Anyway, cats are funny creatures, aren't they? So, the RF Delderfield, there's a shipwreck going on. I don't want to spoil it in case other people are reading it, but there's a shipwreck going on. That's where we are, if anybody knows the story. And we're just in the process of reading that. I was reading it yesterday and leaving. Julia wasn't here. I was on my own, but I was reading it down the phone on WhatsApp audio messages in 10-minute chunks, which is quite fun to do. And yesterday, Julia read to me a different book. I can't remember what she was reading from now. She read to me yesterday. No, the day before. It is an absolute pleasure. We're not always very good at it, but it's an absolute pleasure. We don't have a television, you see. And it's an absolute pleasure to read to one another out loud. And we'll sit on the sofa or whatever, or in the kitchen in front of the fire, and the sofa here by the fire. And we will read. We will have no electronic devices will be put down. And, you know, we may be puffing our pipes, or just sitting there sipping a warm drink, a warm beverage, whatever it might be, contemplating and using our imagination rather than having somebody else draw or create a set and dress the set and all of that. We use our imagination as we read aloud to one another, and it is a joy. I cannot tell you how much joy it is. And if you have a partner and you haven't tried it, it's a great way of bringing you and your partner together. Instead of both of you sitting gawping at a box, just gawping at a box, read to each other. I know a lot of people will say, well, I can't really read, or I can't do the voices, or it's, you know, just try it. Just try it. It is worth the effort. It really is, I would say. But that's my 10 pennyworth worth. Now, I said it's the 2nd of February. I'm going to have a look, because I saw an entry in Calvert's book, I think for the 3rd. Yes, but let me go back to an earlier year and see if there's one in there that we might look at. July, June. I mean, in many ways, you could just run through the whole book, couldn't you? Just read the book out, but then you go back into the book reading thing. Oh, right, okay. That starts on the 8th. 1878. What has he got for there? 14th, 5th. Very sporadic. My diary I write at home is a bit sporadic. Either that, or the guy who's collating all of this is not doing every entry. So you can't even get close on some of these years. 1875, and just September going through. As you can see, not terribly well prepared. March, here we go. What do we got here? 7th of Feb, January 4th. Okay, we'll go back to this 3rd of Feb one, because that's the closest it would seem. Let me just try once more and flick through here. March, because you just never know. What year are we looking at now? 1872. Be nice to get it on this, on the same day. No, oh, 7th. No, that's the 8th. It's my son's birthday on the 8th. I've got to sort him out with something. Right, so this must be 1871 or something like that. And it's a Friday. It's the 3rd of February, so it'll be for tomorrow. But I won't be able to read it out tomorrow. Never mind. This evening we had our 4th penny reading. Oh, there we go. How extraordinary is that? That we were talking about readings. We had our 4th penny reading. The room was fuller than ever, crammed, people almost standing on each other's heads, some sitting up on the high window seats. Many persons came from Hay, Bringwyn, Paincastle,
Numbers could not get into the room and hung and clustered around the windows outside trying to get in at the windows. The heat was fearful and the foul air gave me a crushing headache and almost stupefied me. I recited Jean Ingelow's Reflections and my own Fairy Ride. But isn't that extraordinary? So that goes to show that was 1871 or something. Was it 18 or 17? I can't remember. 1871, there we go. So that was appropriate. You see, if I'd read that beforehand, I could have prepared today's little missive and talked about that. But little recitals. You see, when you don't have television and you don't have the internet, you've got to make up your own entertainment. And that involves either playing games and or reading alone or, you know, doing things alone, household chores, cleaning shoes, polishing brasses, all that sort of caper. But if you have a group of you or one or two together and you try to do things, it could be anything from board games. It's interesting they call them board games. I know you have a board, but is it to prevent you from being bored? Words, you know, funny old things, aren't they? And so there's that. Or reading out loud, or making and you know, little things. Painting soldiers, people used to do. Do you remember? People used to collect these little soldiers and then they would paint them. Little hobbies to keep them going from their work. I wonder how many hobbies people actually have. I mean, it's funny, in America, and I dare say there might be some Americans listening to this, I don't know, but they very often refer to anything that is not work as a hobby. So, and what I mean by that is, I remember when I used to do the audio podcast of the Vobe show back in 2005, they used to say to me, they would call it a hobby, me going into the shed and recording every day a 30-minute live, well, as recorded as live, comedy thing to entertain. Now, to me, it was work. It was work. It was a labour of love, but it was work. But they would call it, oh, it's, you know, your hobby, as if that wasn't my main occupation. It was pretty much my main occupation. Yes, I went out and did a few corporate videos from time to time, or a bit of juggling and unicycling, I think, until I could no longer do it because of my eye business. But they called it a hobby. And now I notice it's interesting with the pipe smoking. They call that a hobby. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, we British wouldn't call it a hobby. It seems a strange thing to call a hobby. Because a hobby is, well, I mean, the collecting side of it, I suppose, if you're collecting pipes and you're cleaning them and you're displaying them and you're showing them off at events and things like that, that sort of thing, yes, I would call a hobby. But if you're just having a few pipes, buying a bit of tobacco, smoking the tobacco, yes, you clean the pipe afterwards, of course. I wouldn't call that a hobby. It's a lifestyle, isn't it? It's part of your life, just like eating. You don't call eating a hobby, going to the farm shop, getting some food and cutting it up and putting it together. Don't call that a hobby. And yet people in the American podcast, in the American YouTube videos, they'll refer to it as a hobby. And I just find that very strange because I don't think of it as a hobby. I don't think of it. It's part of your life, you know. And I'm sure if you went back 20, 30 years and you those people, when everybody was smoking, people, not everyone, but a lot of people were smoking, a lot of men smoked pipes, you go back 100 years, they wouldn't say it was a hobby. They'd say, oh, yes, it was a hobby. It was part of you. It was part of your character. It was part of your daily ablutions, I suppose, in a way. Whatever it is, you know, you wouldn't think of going anywhere without your pipe, and you'd go to the pub and you'd have a... I mean, if you go to the pub and you have a drink every, say, two or three nights a week, whatever it is you do, you wouldn't say it's a hobby, would you? So I do find that a strange term, but, you know, we Brits are different, the English certainly are different from other nations, even though we may share the same language and do a lot of the same things. So that's where I think one of the differences, and it's absolutely laudable that we have those differences. This isn't a criticism, of course. I'm just saying it's an unusual turn of phrase to put to something which I don't really think personally is a hobby as such, because it's anyway, enough on that, I suppose. But people do call things very, very odd. So I got a very itchy arm this morning. Julia made up, I don't know where it is actually. Did she take it? Did I put it back? Oh, I did. She's made up, she's got some essential oils. We did it in the English couple yesterday and it has been released. And she's made up a new lotion. So the trouble with this is it goes on your hands, of course, to get on your arm or wherever the itchy part is, which I am convinced is these bloody chemtrails and the chemicals in the atmosphere and all of this, or the EMFs. I can't think what it is. It's not the food I'm eating, clearly, because I'm eating good, healthy food. It's not the pipe smoking, before somebody says. I've had this for donkeys, and it's just got, since they've ramped up in the cold. It comes in the cold, doesn't like the cold. Maybe it's just dry skin. It may have nothing else to do with it. But this oily stuff that Julia's made up is really nice. It's nice on the skin anyway. And it does stop me from lacerating myself, which is the most important part of it. I'm just going to do the other arm. Oh, let's just do that. There we go. So just bear with me as I slobber my forearm. The drawing's going well. I'm still struggling with proportions and certain limbs and hands and things. I need to spend more time doing that. It's not like, now that's more of a hobby. It's a pastime. Isn't it interesting? Words have different meanings to different people. To me, I would call it a pastime. So I'm doing it just for fun, for my own personal pleasure, to improve my drawing skills. And maybe, if I was good enough, I might get to a point where I could illustrate the cover of my book. I want it to be nice. I want it to look professional and what have you. And I don't suppose my drawings will be quite sufficient. However, as Julia said, and I think I mentioned this yesterday, she said it's very nice when the author does something on the cover or his little doodles in the book, because it's part of the whole creation, the illusion and all of that, rather than a professional coming in and making an interpretation. But we know they're coming in because they want to do the marketing for sales. Well, I'm not so worried about that, because my book isn't going to be offered for, it's not going on Amazon, I don't think. I don't think they'd publish it because it's got too many conspiracies in it and truth bombs all within the story. And the idea being that people, well, they don't have to believe any of it, you know, and I'm not stating it's true because it's a work of fiction. So that's one thing. Anyway, that was very nice. I've got a few scabs on one of my arms. It's not very helpful. Well, I must take a slurp of tea. This must be getting cold. Coffee, rather. Anyway, there it is. So I better go and turn the internet on and upload this and get on with my day. I've got the pipe smoking one. I've got a normal Richard Vobes video. Oh, it'd be nice to get to the end of this, all this conspiracy stuff, wouldn't it? It'd be nice to get to the end of that and have the world go back to normal so that we could go and explore the countryside and enjoy, do a bit of van life stuff. I just want this evil now to stop. And you know, the government that we've got to disintegrate. And we start afresh with honourable, laudable, wholesome people who have actually everybody's hearts at interest, not their own. mean cells. Wouldn't that be nice? I would love that. I'm not really keen on continuing this sort of trying to wake people up. But people are asleep. People have no idea what's going on. People have been brainwashed. It's not their fault. It's not their fault, but they've been brainwashed into thinking that this narrow band of life that we live is it. And the history is what it is and everything else. And that there's, you know, it's just life is a struggle. It shouldn't be a struggle. It shouldn't be a struggle for any of us. We're all intelligent people. and we're sophisticated now. But the people who make it as difficult for us are the corporations and the government. And we look to them as if they're the ones that are supposed to be doing it right. But somehow, with the great theatrical lies that they tell, they've made all our lives less easy. With all the speed traps and all the regulations and the register this and all of this. And when will people realise that this is... Why do we need all of this stuff? We've been led to believe, oh, this is the only way, that legislation is the thing. Wait up, folks. Legislation is a man-made construct that is there to enslave us and trap us. If we act as the person, if we put the persona thing on and pretend to be the all-caps name which comes under it. It's a carbon copy of the real world. We're all living in this carbon copy. Well, and we need to pull ourselves out of it. And it's very easy to pull yourself out of it. You just don't be the name. Don't be the name. Be your first name. Don't be the Crown copyright name. That is just it. Because they've got no jurisdiction over you. But all the time you... Now, of course, the big problem is that we're buying stuff with fiat currency, which has no value, and it's a promissory note. It's not even our money. We're employed under an all-caps name. We have bank accounts, we have passports and everything in an all-caps name. It is ridiculous. And all the utilities are in this all-caps name. And yet this all-caps name does not exist. People can't get it into their head. They don't understand. They don't understand how the bankers have been very clever and they've fleeced us. So anyway, I'll leave that with you because I was going on otherwise. Until next time, thanks for listening. Bye for now.